Welcome to the DMD edition of Rare Disease Advisor's Rare Care Podcast, offering unique perspectives from researchers, clinicians, and influencers from the Duchenne muscular dystrophy community.
Hello, everyone. This is Larry Luxner, Senior Correspondent for Rare Disease Advisor. We're at the Muscular Dystrophy Association's 2022 Clinical and Scientific Conference in Nashville, Tennessee. We're talking with Laura McLinn of Indianapolis. She's the mom of 12-year-old Jordan McLinn, who has Duchenne muscular dystrophy. Laura is also a small business owner and an advocate and founder of the nonprofit Best Day Ever Foundation. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you, Larry. Good morning.
Let's talk about Jordan and his diagnosis. Start from the beginning, if you would.
Well, Jordan, when he was almost 4 years old, was diagnosed with Duchenne muscular dystrophy, which, as you know, is historically a fatal muscle-wasting disease. He will be 13 years old in May. He just celebrated 5 years of being on a treatment to help slow the progression of his muscular dystrophy. Just an amazing kiddo.
Let's talk about Jordan and his treatment and his disease story. How did this begin?
Sure. So when Jordan was 5 years old, we heard there were exon skipping treatments coming up in the pipeline. And Jordan is one of 8% of boys amenable to skipping exon 53. At the time, from what we were hearing, Jordan, he wasn't going to meet the inclusion criteria to make it into a clinical trial. So at that time, we started working on a piece of legislation called the Right to Try. And that is a piece of legislation that says if you have a life-threatening illness and there is a treatment that exists that may be able to help you and you cannot make it into a clinical trial, you cannot access the treatment any other way, this is an additional pathway you may be able to try to access treatment.
Why was Right to Try opposed by so many people if it makes so much sense?
That's a really good question, Larry. And to be honest, I can't answer it because to me, it was a no-brainer. To me, my journey started for my one at the time, which was Jordan, but then later just became about everyone who really wanted to be able to access a treatment but couldn't. So I think there were some people that thought that, you know, this can't apply to everyone. It's not fair. You know, I'm really not sure. To this day, I still ask myself the question, why would anyone oppose this? And there's a lot of ethics around it, but for everyone who knows me, they know how important the one is for me. And I am very passionate about making sure that no matter what the pathway is, whether it's a clinical trial, an approved treatment, expanded access, right to try, if someone is able to access a treatment, I believe that every one individual has the right to try to pursue that in whatever way makes the most sense for them.
Why was Jordan not initially going to be accepted into the trial?
So at the time, Jordan was going to miss the criteria because of his age. So as you know, the criteria for making it into a clinical trial is very stringent. And so only a select few make it in. And it's okay. It makes sense. That's how the science works. They need that to be able to collect data. But thankfully, he became one of, you know, and I say the lucky ones, the blessed ones. But, you know, he was one of 16 boys that did end up making it into a clinical trial. And for three and a half years, we drove from Indianapolis to Chicago, which was, you know, 3 hour drive there, sometimes 4 or 5 hour drive home. And he got a weekly infusion. Then later the FDA would grant accelerated approval for that treatment. So now other boys who are amenable to skipping exon 53 are able to access the treatment as well. Jordan's actually accessing the treatment now through the commercial pathway, but he still gets infusions every week. We have a nurse that comes to our home, gives him the infusion. He just celebrated 5 years of getting infusions this last month, which is just incredible.
Is this all covered by insurance?
Yes.
Okay. An interesting sideline here is how Mike Pence, who at the time was governor of Indiana, sort of took Jordan under his wing and developed a personal interest in your story.
Yes. So when we first worked on Right to Try, it was at the state level in Indiana when Mike Pence was our governor. And at the time, you know, he just fell in love with Jordan. They became fast buddies. And he said, if you ever need anything in the future, let me know. Well, little did we know that Mike Pence would later become the vice president of the United States. So Jordan and I started working on federal legislation. And to be clear, by the time we were working on the federal law, Jordan had already made it into a clinical trial. So it was no longer so personal to us for my one. Jordan, but we had met so many patients along the way that weren't as lucky as Jordan to make it into a clinical trial.
And these were patients with other diseases such as ALS.
Yes. In fact, Jordan actually got to be there with Matt Bellina when Matt received his first treatment using the Right to Try pathway. And it wasn't publicly known at the time. We talk about it now, but it was a very special moment for Jordan and Matt to be together and for Jordan to see all of his hard work. We made 30 to 40 trips to DC while we were also traveling once a week to Chicago for Jordan's infusions. And so when we finally got it passed at the federal level and Jordan was there with Mike Pence and President Trump on the stage for the signing of the law. But after that, when Jordan got to be there with Matt for his first treatment, just to see all of that work come full circle was just incredible.
And just to clarify, that bill was signed into law by President Trump on May 30th, 2018.
Yes.
And that was a pretty famous moment, actually, for your son. He became a kind of a celebrity. I recall local TV stations were covering this like wall to wall. It went viral on Twitter.
Yeah, it did. Yeah. And you know, the funny thing about that is the morning that we were getting ready to go to the signing ceremony, and Jordan had already been in the media quite a bit before then. You know, he had an open invitation to the White House. We would go quite frequently to the Bible study in Mike Pence's office. We were meeting with lots of members of Congress doing briefings, rallies. So he was no stranger to the media, and he really doesn't care about this. It's funny because a lot of people, when they do talk to Jordan, that's the question they always want to ask is, how was it to meet the president? And the question I wish they would ask is, how was it to spend time with Vice President Pence in the weekly Bible studies or sharing your story or like, you know, like laying on Senator Donnelly's couch and having a Dr. Pepper?
Well, what's interesting here is you mentioned Mike Pence several times. I mean, he's actually the force in government who seemed to have brought this into law. I wanted to ask you just to go back a second. You talked about the other patients who have benefited in the years since, thanks to the Right to Try. Is this now kind of being used regularly? How much is Right to Try a factor?
I can't speak to the numbers, but I can tell you that I've had many individual families reach out to me to share their story and to thank Jordan and I for involvement with Right to Try. I don't have statistics, though. And, you know, it's not millions. But for me, that's okay. Because, you know, I said all along, if Right to Try can help one patient, to me, it's worth it.
So, Laura, let's talk about the Best Day Ever Foundation. What is its goal and what is it all about?
So Best Day Ever Foundation is a nonprofit. It's 501c3. We try to do things where throughout the year, we bless families throughout the year in different ways. We establish relationships with community members who want to help support families. And we try to take the time to get to know families and help families connect with each other. We know how important it is for families to learn from each other. And the thing I'm really most proud of that we do is just sharing resources with families. We share everything. We share what other nonprofits are doing. We share resources for travel. We share resources for navigating Medicaid waivers. We host a monthly meeting called Living Our Best Lives with Duchenne, where we try to connect families and help families learn from each other. During those monthly educational workshops, we also provide information on Indiana Medicaid waivers, IEPs, just any kind of resources that parents need. And my favorite part about those sessions is when parents share things they've learned along the way, because that's really what we are all about, is just sharing resources with each other. Best Day Ever Foundation was kind of formed in my heart when I realized that Jordan was getting a lot of attention and experiences. You know, the story that first went made national news with Jordan was when he was 5 and he got hired as a firefighter. So you can Google this. There's a lot out there. But I made a resume for Jordan to get a job as a firefighter. And it was also to raise awareness for Duchenne muscular dystrophy. So on the resume, I talk about how Jordan, you know, it may not be able to be a firefighter when he's older. So I would like him to do that now. Anyway, the story went viral. He invited to do some interviews at some fire stations. And on Christmas morning, he woke up and had 2 job offers in his stocking. Wow. And we since then have become like a member of the firefighter family, which that is just a whole nother story in and of itself. Just incredible how they have embraced him. And it was actually because of the firefighters that we first learned how to lobby at the State House. The week before we testified for Right to Try in Indiana, the firefighters had invited Jordan for just an experience. events at the State House. And we walked around with the firefighters and learned how to lobby. And he was helping the firefighters lobby for something. And I mean, little did we know a week later, we would be at the State House testifying for Right to Try.
Well, if he can't be a firefighter, maybe he can grow up to be a lobbyist.
Oh, yeah.
How is he doing health-wise?
We are here at this place that is like a city of its own for conference. And he has just, you know, been walking with me, attending all the sessions. He's very happy, living life. He's doing well.
Wonderful. Thank you very much for talking with us, Laura. This is Larry Luxner for Rare Disease Advisor. Thank you for listening.
Thank you, Larry.
Be sure to follow the latest news, perspectives, and clinical resources on rare diseases at rarediseaseadvisor.com. Thank you for listening.